It's not enough that we do good and avoid evil. It's not enough that we cannot achieve good ends by evil means. Not enough that we show up in mass and drop an envelope in the plate. We must do more, a lot more. In fact, Jesus commands us, be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. And why must we be perfect? Even the pagans feed their children, pay their taxes, pray to their gods. When we do the same, how are we any different? When we love only those who love us back, or do favors only for those who favor us, we're no different than our pagan neighbors. So what are we testifying to when our witness to the world is indistinguishable from the daily lives of those who do not follow Christ? Our holiness has been a priority for God from the very beginning. He gives Moses a message to deliver to his people. Be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. He demands that we be better. He demands our best. Bear no hatred for your brother or sister. Seek no revenge. Cherish no grudge. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Our Lord sets a high bar for us to clear in our run towards holiness. And when we consider our thoughts, words, and deeds, that is how we will witness in the world, we must ask ourselves at every moment, do not the pagans think, speak, and do the same? Do we think, speak, and act like our pagan neighbors? Well, recent surveys show that Catholics think and act almost exactly like their non-Catholic neighbors on the hot-button issues of the day. Contraception, abortion, same-sex marriage, cohabitation before marriage. And even on hot-button issues that are internal just to the church, like obligatory clerical celibacy and the impossibility of ordaining women to the priesthood, Catholic attitudes differ very little from their non-Catholic neighbors. Unfortunately, what this means is that on these issues, Catholics agree with their pagan neighbors. And now we could say that these issues aren't really indicative of our identity as Catholics. They're hot button issues, after all. But disagreeing with the church on three or four of these hot button questions doesn't really put us among the pagans. We're not rejecting God or Christ or the church just because we think that contraception's okay, or that we could redefine marriage to include same-sex couples. God tells Moses to prophesy, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And Jesus says, be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. Can be holy and be perfect simply mean be like your pagan neighbors? Is holiness and spiritual perfection simply a matter of imitating those who do not follow Christ? Well, if our holiness is simply a matter of mimicking our neighbors, then we need to ignore God's admonition to Moses. You need to start hating your brother and sister, seeking revenge, cherishing grudges, refusing to help the poor and the sick, and worshiping whatever God makes you feel good. That's exactly what the pagans of Moses' day did. And that's pretty much what the Romans of Jesus' day did. Both Moses and Jesus understand holiness to mean something like setting yourself apart from the pagans. And maybe in the 21st century, holiness means something like, don't imitate the collective suicidal impulses of those who are ruled by the world. Now, that's not all that holiness means for us, of course, but it's a start. And Jesus starts with the Mosaic Law. And then he proceeds to fulfill that law by revealing the soul of the law. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That's the Mosaic Law. But I say to you, love your enemies. And that's the law of love. The soul of the law is love. And we begin our run towards holiness by setting ourselves apart in Christ, by consecrating ourselves in His sacrifice for us. And we cannot achieve the holiness God wills for us by imitating the fads and fashions of our pagan neighbors. And so how do we set ourselves apart from the world short of fleeing to a monastery somewhere up in Montana? How do we live and move in our pagan culture and at the same time resist its less desirable influences? Well, Paul gives us a couple of excellent hints in his letter to the Corinthians. He writes, do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Did you know this? As baptized and confirmed followers of Christ, each one of us, all of us, are walking, talking temples of the Holy Spirit. Each one of us is a sacred location, a holy place and person housing the living Spirit of the living God. And in virtue of our baptism in Christ and our confirmation in the Holy Spirit, we are, each and every one of us, a priest, a prophet, and a king. A priest, a prophet, and a king vowed to sacrifice, to witness, and to serve. And when we sacrifice, witness, and serve, we do so with the power and blessing of the Spirit who dwells within us, each one of us. So as followers of Christ, we are not allowed to run and hide in the face of opposition or oppression, nor are we allowed to collapse under the pressure of our pagan culture. We are charged with being Christ, priest, prophet, and king in the world, among the world, sacrificing for, witnessing to, and serving the least among us. Our Lord tells us many times that we are to be salt and leaven, the ingredients that nourish His word and bring it to harvest. We cannot be salt and leaven and at the same time imitate the impulsive suicidal behavior of our secular culture. This isn't some political observation that I'm making here. It's not a talking point in the ongoing cultural war. This is about our holiness. This is about our holiness, our growth toward the perfect that Christ expects us to be. To achieve this holiness, we must be in the world but not of it. Meaning, we can't run or hide from evil, and nor can we make friends with evil in exchange for just being left alone. In the gospel, Jesus teaches us not to resist the evil person. Turn the other cheek. Now, this isn't a surrender, and it's not cooperation. is a steadfast refusal to fight evil on its own terms. Return evil for evil? Jesus asked, do not the pagans do the same? Kill unwanted children. Do not the pagans do the same? Reject the gift of life because another life might be expensive or inconvenient or disruptive. Do not the pagans do the same? Believe that natural law can be altered by courts or legislatures. Do not the pagans do the same? To be holy and to witness to holiness for the sake of others. Our yes to Christ must mean yes, and our no to the world must mean no. But that no does not mean that we enclose ourselves in self-righteousness, or prissy aloofness, or self-satisfied certainty. It means that we mourn for the world and we seek its rescue in Christ. As we rapidly approach Lent, it seems fitting to repeat Paul's warning to the corrupt church in Corinth. Let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you considers himself wise in this age, let him become a fool so as to become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness in the eyes of God. Take that warning with this assurance. Do you not know that you are a temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Christ fulfilled the law by revealing the soul of the law, divine love freely given. He shows us the power of sacrificial love from the cross, defeating sin and death by rising from the tomb, and bringing us all the way to His way of perfection. You are a living temple of the living God. And your run towards holiness begins by following Christ, not the dominant pagan culture, not your pagan neighbors, not a political party. Christ. Follow Christ and become a fool in the eyes of the world.